welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm a certified spiritual mentor, hypnotist, writer, integrative change worker, and life coach. I always say, this whole being human thing is kind of like an ongoing problem. So on this show, I tell everyday stories interwoven with spiritual principles, practical tools, and plenty of humor to help us transform from pain to peace, from wound to wisdom, from your story to your glory, and ultimately, from fear back to love. Well, hello there, beautiful human. First of all, let's just start with why my voice sounds funny. My friend KT was telling me that I sound like the dude version, the male version of Karen Kenny. So here's the scoop, and we're going to make it quick. I knock on wood, I am lucky to have a pretty robust immune system. So I almost never, ever, ever get sick. But when I do, it usually comes because some virus or some big thing like comes along and kind of knocks me down a bit, which is interesting because we're going to be talking about being knocked down in a moment. But I'm trying to, I'm starting to turn the corner and I wanted to do a podcast. And so here we are. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you are a loyal listener, I love you and appreciate you. If you're new to the show, welcome. I don't know how you got here. I don't know if somebody sent you a link or told you to watch or is like, check this out. I love the show. I think you'll dig it too, whatever. However you got here, I'm wicked happy to be spending some time together. So thank you for tuning in. I think if you're new to the show, kind of how I do things is I will start. I'll talk about maybe the inspiration for the show, where it came from, tell a little story, and then we'll kind of dissect and I'll extract some spiritual principles or some helpful tools or some practical pieces that kind of help us to navigate this human experience, right? My goal is to always leave people better than how I first found them and to spread a little more love in the world. Can we please? Can we? God knows that the world could use it. Okay. Here we are. I think I'm going to call this sucker Praise Up and Pull Down. Praise Up and Pull Down. And it's actually kind of similar. It's so funny that I'm doing this. So like, this is I'm now in my fifth year of doing the Karen Kenny Show, right? My podcast. And way back on April 4th, 4-4 of 2019. So 5 years ago, I did an episode on the message and the messenger, like basically the message versus the messenger. And this just seems like a really great time to kind of come back around 5 years later to this topic, because the world has changed a lot in 5 years. The internet has grown, like so much has happened. But you know what hasn't really changed that much? People, right? People be peopling. So this topic of praising up and pulling down and the messenger and the messenger, why I want to talk about it, because you know that song from way back in the day, Another One Bites the Dust, right? Another One Bites the Dust. That's what I was thinking, because here we are, another so-called, quote unquote, I can't stand this world, but quote unquote, influencer, another person, famous podcast or whatever, is finding themselves in some hot water. Okay. A little hot water, a little trouble. And the internet's losing its collective mind. People are losing their shit. You know what I mean? And people are like, just going to town about, I always knew that there was something off about this person. And, everybody's got an opinion. You know what they say about opinions? Everybody's got one, right? So everybody's kind of losing their mind. There's a little bit of this cancel culture. Like, you know, it's like back in the day with Frankenstein, you know, the townsfolk are outside the castle with their pitchforks and their what are those things called? You know, the fire on the stick, their torches. And they're just ready to burn it all down. And I always think that it's so fascinating that human beings, like all you have to do is look around. If you just look at Famous people. Let's just start there. You look at famous people, whether they're actors and actresses or billionaires or professional athletes or musicians, rappers, writers, whatever it is. Whenever people like get a certain level of success or fame, man, do human beings love to praise them up. Praise them up, right? So that they can just later pull them down. They love to erect these kind of like statues. I would say, oh, they put up all the statues of all the heroes and all the saviors, and man, do they love to tear them down afterwards. It's this really bizarre thing to me that we love to do this. We love to build idols. Think about it. We even have a show in our culture called American Idol. I'm like, what's that about? Because somebody can sing, it makes them an idol because they have a God-given talent, or they have a talent that they, you know, were born with it, that then they put, you know, lots of hours into. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think it's a very dangerous thing that we do. And I think it's kind of a very bizarre thing, but it says more, I think. And look at this show, I always say I reserve the right to change my mind. I might say something today that I will change my mind about like 2 weeks from now, because I'll be smarter and I'll have learned better. I'll have learned something or whatever. So I don't stress about like stuff I was saying like 5 years ago. I'm like, I'm sure if I went back and listened to my old episodes, I'd be like, you're doing that one eye cringe, like, oh my God, what did I say? What did I do? But I'm different. You know, we're continuing, hopefully. We're continuing to grow and evolve and become more ourselves and remove more of what is not us as we kind of stand in the remembrance of like who we really are. But like I don't stress about it. But this is what I'm kind of thinking about today, is that, you know, we kind of get off on creating these illusions, these ideas about people. And we love to like, I always say, I was talking to a friend like 2 weeks ago, and called me for a referral about something. And through our conversation, we were catching up, and I said something. I said, oh yeah, people love to put you up on the pedestal and then move you over to the cross. And he's like, what do you mean? What do you tell me more about that? And I said, oh, people love to put you on the pedestal of praise just so they can then shift you and move you over. Once they find out that you're actually human, then they love to put you on the cross of the crucifixion, man. They love to like, it's just insane to me. And you know, I've had a lot of opportunities in my life to spend time around people who have had a certain amount of fame in different areas, you know. And I lived in California, I lived in Los Angeles, I got to meet a lot of people. I dated a famous person for a while. And so I've seen it up close, is what I'm trying to say. And it's just like as a culture, there's something that happens, you know, where we love to devalue ourselves. And what I was going to say a few moments ago is we think we're standing here on the ground floor pointing up, right? Pointing up and saying, there, you know, first of all, we were like, oh, they're amazing. Oh my God, they're amazing. Like we build them up and build them up and build them up as a culture, right? As a society. And then we're still there, like trying to tear them down because they have now revealed some part of their humanness to us, and that somehow is not allowed, right? So not allowed to make mistakes, you know, perfection at all costs, you know. So we love to tear people down, but this process to me says more about the people on the ground who are doing the building and doing the tearing, the people who are doing the praising and then the pulling, than it does than the beings a lot of times that are up on the pedestal. And who I'm specifically talking about, like what inspired this, doesn't even really matter because the pattern is there, right? The pattern behind this kind of insanity that we do. And I think so much of this desire to praise people up and then to pull them down has so much to do with our own inner relationship to ourselves. And it's a combination of like it's like a potpourri dish, right? It's like a potluck. Let's call it that. It's like a potluck of a lot of different things. It's a giving away of our own power. It is a lack of discernment. And then it's like a pity party, right? It's like, oh, you know, how could you do this to us? I'm like, this person doesn't owe you anything. Now, look, there are certain times, of course, when The disappointment or the reaction makes total sense, right? If we were to just look at particular things that have happened, we can look at the church and like priests and just the rampant like child, you know, sex abuse and stuff like that. We can look in a lot of different places where we say, hey, we hold these people to a different standard and a higher standard. That's one thing, right? You don't expect certain people, right? We don't expect parents to molest their children, right? We have certain expectations where we're like, we that's not cool. Like that is not okay. Okay. In so many levels. But when you just take people who happen to have a skill or happen to have a certain level of brilliance or genius or talent in a particular area, and then the humans around them, whether it's the people who, consume their content or buy their albums or watch their shows or watch their movies or watch their games or whatever, they do this thing where they love to just bolster you up. And you know where it's actually happening? In your mind, first and foremost. And what happens in your mind is very causal. And then the effect happens out in the world. So our thinking is the cause, and we build these fake idols, these false idols, and we build them up and build them up and build them up, and we give them a certain amount of specialness. So I want to tell you a story, and I told this story like 5 years ago, and I write about it in my memoir. And so I'm just going to give you a super fast snippet of it. But when I was a kid, and most of you know, if you've been a listener of the show, or you just know me personally, you've been around the block and you know who I, you know, my, you know, parts of my story, you know that my mother was murdered when I was 12 years old. And there was so much that happened, before that and also after that or whatever, but it was a very, very, very hard, a wicked hard time in my life. And my life was never the same again. And I had always found solace in books, right? I was a lover of words. I was a lover of reading. I was a lover of stories. I was a storyteller. I was a little writer, you know, I just love books. And books were a way for me to kind of, in some ways, escape, right? To find solace. And I discovered Stephen King when I was like, you know, 12. I was 12 when my mother died. So around like 12 or 13, I got my first Stephen King book. And I read this book called Firestarter. And all the details don't really matter except to say that I became like obsessed with Stephen King. And I just thought he was the bee's knees in the cat's pajamas, or the cat's meow. I thought he was like just next level. Like believe it or not, his character in that book, Firestarter, really, I could relate to her. And there were so many similarities, and I was like, oh my God. And I was, you know, I was in a family that didn't talk about things. We didn't talk about, you know, what had happened. And it was a really, you know, lonely and scary and challenging time for me. And this book, like, I felt like I was seen. I felt like somebody got it, got me, like, whatever. Okay. So that's like around 12 or 13. And I continue to start to consume like any book of his, right? Like Firestarter, Cujo, Salem's Lot, like all the oldies but goodies, right? I just start like consuming them. So then I go off, I'm 17 years old. I go off to school. I go off to BU. And I find out, and I find out that Stephen King is going to be speaking at Boston University. I don't have the money to like buy a ticket. Tickets are sold out, whatever. But it's around my birthday. Okay, it's in October, and my friends are like, let's go to this dining hall instead. Like normally we would eat on West Campus where my dorm was, but we decided to go down, you know, further down Comm Ave, and we just happened to be in the same building where they were having Stephen King speak. I did not know this. Okay, much to my surprise, though, I got up to go to the bathroom from the table where we were celebrating my birthday. And as I'm walking down the hall to go to the bathroom, I happen to just turn over my shoulder to the left and I look. And who do I see? Like one of the doors was open to the big event space. And who do I see walking towards the door? But Stephen King himself. And I literally just think I'm going to die. Like I'm just like, oh my God, you guys, you cannot imagine the way my heart was pounding in my chest, like the thump, the thump, the thump, the thump, the thump, the thump, the thump. Like I was like out of my mind excited. And so I'm like, he's obviously leaving the room, and I see that he's heading towards the bathroom, and I don't want to stop him because I'm like, guy's got to pee or whatever. Like, I got to let him go, you know? He's going to get on stage. I don't know. So he goes into the bathroom. I'm like, I'm just gonna hold it. I am not gonna risk going to the bathroom and like seeing him come out of the bathroom. So I wait like a weirdo outside the bathroom, and he comes out, and I just go, Mr. King. You just have to imagine. You have to imagine. There's a much longer story in the book, but I basically say this to him. You know, he's got his big glasses on. You can imagine, right? He's got the big glasses on. They're like wicked thick and stuff like that. And I'm like, Mr. King, oh my God. I and I'm like literally like lost for words, but I do blurt out like a total psycho. I say to him, oh my God, I love you. And I'm like, you're like God to me. This is literally what I say to my literary hero. Right, my literary idol. I'm like, you're like God to me. And I see for a moment, it like takes him aback. And he looks at me and he says, like, I think he said, you know, thank you, of course, for my enthusiasm. Then he says, but I'm just a man. But I'm just a man. I will never, ever, 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 obviously, I will never, 55, I will never forget that. And one of the reasons why I will never forget it is he did me such a service to check myself, right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself, as the song says, right? Because I was taking this idea of this person that I didn't know through my admiration of his work, through my admiration and respect of his writing, his accomplishments, his success as an author. You know, little did I know the guy was going through his own stuff, his own addictions, his own problems, like whatever. But I'm just like fangirling, like, right? And he says, I'm just a man. And it got me, it planted that seed in my head, because it was only like 4 years later, you know, 5 years later, roughly, that I moved out to California and was going to start having these experiences of meeting famous people, et cetera, et cetera. And so when he said that to me, it was like, oh yeah, like don't forget this guy's humanity. And I think that's something that we do, is when there's somebody that we admire, again, whether it's from an athlete to an actor to a quote unquote influencer, I'm doing the air quotes, right? An influencer, it can be really easy. Remember, so much in the media, you know, we're seeing a carefully curated and crafted version of what either that person, that influencer, that agent, right, who kind of runs the show for that actor, that way, what they want to see. We don't see the truth. We don't see nothing but the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You know what I'm saying? We see snippets and pieces of what's been curated for us to see. And then somehow we act surprised. We act shocked. Nay, we act betrayed when we find out, oh, this is just a guy or a girl or a person with problems like the rest of us. Oh, this is somebody with a compulsion, with an addiction, with a whatever, like the rest of us. You know what I mean? And one of the things that happens is we over-identify with the body and with being human, and we forget. Right? We forget about our own divinity and our own spirituality and who we are as spirit. We get so caught up in this ego personality churn, right? And we're going to talk about that in a second, that we forget that we are all equal in the eyes of God. We're all equal in the eyes of the creator. We're all equal in the eyes of the universe. You know, and even in the Declaration of Independence, right? Like, even our founding fathers, if we want to talk about that, let's just like take detour for a second, right? What is that? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Like, this country tried to start on that premise, that they are endowed by their creator with what is it? Certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and obviously the pursuit of happiness. But we start with that premise. We're all created equal, right? That's not talking about, oh, we all have the same amount of money. We all have the same opportunities. Because, hello, we know that's not true. we know that there are systems of oppression and racism and hatred and all kinds of stuff that have been going on for, you know, gazillion years. So, but the premise is that underneath it all, who we are as extensions of the divine, we are all equal. We are all the same. But then what the ego loves to do is to create this specialness. Like, I was laughing. I wrote this note to myself. I wrote it right here, and it says, ego hates equal. When your ego, and I don't want to mean like I'll say our, that's a better way to say it. Our egos hate equal. Because it's like, what do you mean? I don't want to be equal to, right? It's like the ego can thrives on being special. And the ego will make you special, I say, in a couple of ways. One, out of superiority, like I'm so much better than everybody else, or through shittiness, like, oh, you don't know how bad I've had it, how much trauma I've had, all the awful things that have happened, poor me. Like, you don't understand how hard it is, right? So the ego just gets off on being special no matter what. But you know what else it gets off on? Making other people special, right? Building them up and putting them on these pedestals. And it never ends well, right? There's very few beings, human beings. Now, yes, we are all truly, I think, spiritual beings who are here in this illusion. Call it the dream, call it the Maya, call it the human experience, the classroom, whatever you want to call it, the experience that we're having right now, the 3D, whatever, you know, we are all spiritual beings, but kind of living out this bodily human experience. And we sometimes forget, right, that we're spiritual beings. But instead, we try to build pedestals for the very human parts of us, the ego parts of us, the personality parts of us. And those parts are not infallible. We all screw up. We are all clumsy. We all make mistakes. We all blow it sometimes. We all, you know, don't have the kind of finesse. That's why, like, if you even think about it, if you're not a Catholic kid, you didn't grow up with like the Lord's Prayer or whatever, right? But there's that line that says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's built right into this kind of that tradition of like knowing. It's just like knowing, okay, humans, yeah, we're probably going to blow it. But then so why do we get so surprised when you start listening to somebody? And you know what's interesting too? And this comes back to this lack of discernment, is that because somebody is wicked smart or wicked good in one area, and whether that's they're a neuroscientist, they're an actor, they're a musician, they're a writer, they're a speaker, they're a whatever it might be, right? They're really good at starting companies, an entrepreneur, whatever it is. Because they have an element of their personality that is strong and successful at making money or running fast or throwing the ball or like whatever it is, we somehow think that they are supposed to be like pristine and special and perfect across the board in all other areas. And I'm like, why do we do that? Why do we say, oh, this person is famous, they must be amazing? I can tell you how many famous, rich people I've met, and I've walked away thinking, there's so many unhappy famous people. There's a lot of unhappy rich people. Not all is as it seems. It's a very Wizard of Ozzy experience, right? Now, so that's why when we find people who seem really genuine, like, you know, there's that phrase, that old phrase, that, what is it? Like, don't ever meet your heroes. That's built on the premise of like, a lot of times you're going to meet these people that you admire. And I've been to so many musician like meet and greets, and I've just seen like it. And when, you know, when I worked with, you know, some of you know that Marianne Williamson, if you, you know who she is, you've read her books, you know, Return to Love, et cetera, et cetera. You know, she's my spiritual godmother. And I spent a lot of time, you know, with her and saw just how, even to this day, how people react to her. because they've built an idea of who they think she is in their mind, and they put her up on this pedestal. So my point is to say that I've been around a lot of pedestal building. And I've seen a lot of it too in the yoga world, you know, like in so much of yoga, the way that it was, you know, first brought from the East over to the West. So you had all these like male, quote unquote, you know, gurus, these teachers, like whatever, that people were turning into their gurus because of their wisdom that they brought over. And then you slowly started to see how many of those teachers could not balance that adoration and that newly found power. And then we saw all like a lot of like abuse and a lot of weird shit happening, a lot of sexual inappropriateness and a lot of stuff that was going on, these power dynamics that were not good and were covered up, et cetera, et cetera. So we see it play out in a lot of areas, and then people get really surprised because they have this expectations. Well, this person is this, they're not supposed to be that. And I'm like, but you've forgotten that they're human. They're not God. They're not otherworldly. They are riddled with their own flaws, insecurities, you know, character, you know, what do we want to call them? Character flaws, whatever, you know, the places where they need to do some work. You know what I'm saying? And so I just think that, you know, in yoga, a lot of times too, people would like give their power away. And there have been several times where people have started to try and do that with me, where they'd say to me, you're my guru, or, you know, it's a sign of respect in that culture to add like J-I-G, like to say, so they would like to say like Guru G or Bapu G, right? And it's a way of denoting respect, right? And somebody was like joking around calling me Karen G. And I said, oh, no, 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 ixnay, ixnay on that. Just stop right there. I'm doing a little big X with my hands. I'm like, I am nobody's guru. The only guru that I am is my own guru. And even that word guru, right? The word guru kind of means several things, but I'll interpret it like as I've been taught the best that I can by my teachers, which is, it's like, it's about one who is very heavy. It's like somebody who has kind of like that substance. It is one who brings light to darkness. It is one who brings truth or wisdom, right? Enlightenment to ignorance. It's a really big like thing that you would denote, right? And I'm like, I am not that. And I've always said, please don't put me on a pedestal. Please do not put me on a pedestal, because I will end up disappointing you, because I am human and I am still right on my own path. I think as long as I'm alive, I'll be learning and growing and transforming and changing and removing the blocks and the barriers, right, that I have built against my own awareness, as A Course in Miracles says, against my own awareness of love's presence. And so the thing is that when we give away our power and we start giving it to these people who, and a lot of times are strangers, like you don't even really know them. You just start to idolize them and you're like, oh, well, this guy has all these protocols, or this guy says to do this, or this one's been on that podcast. And all those quote unquote, again, influences, they can support each other and feed off each other's fame. And it can be really easy to just take their word for it, to not do your own homework, or to, you know, again, like forget that you don't devalue your own worth. Don't devalue your own, also your inner teacher, right? Your own gut instinct, your own intuition, your own divine intelligence, your own inner knowing, you know? And this happens a lot where, you know, I'll say, any good external teacher. So me as a spiritual mentor, as a hypnotist, as a coach, as a yoga teacher, as you know, all the stuff, right? What I always say is I'm an external teacher to the clients and the people that I work with or that I help. And any good external teacher, all we are doing again and again and again and again is reminding people and pointing back to their own internal teacher. What external teachers are really good for is reminding you that you already have everything you need inside of you. It's just that we don't know to look there. Like just, I'm wearing my little fox shirt. Okay. So in some traditions, right, the little fox is called the trickster, right? They have like this trickster quality. They're cunning, right? And so there's this parable of kind of like how the divine, call it God, call it source, call it whatever you want to call it, right? But God often hides himself, in the one place that you would never think to look, like a little trickster. And that is inside of you. And so for a lot of us growing up, we were not maybe taught these things or told these things or told that we are lovable, that we are worthy, that we are enough, like just as we are. Like those things probably for a lot of New England kids was not stuff that we heard on the regular, you know what I mean? We were taught to work hard, right? Shut your mouth, work hard. No bitching and moaning, suck it up, stuff it down, you know what I mean? So a lot of times we don't know that we have tools and resources, right, within us. We go looking for it externally. Spend a lot of money looking for answers out there because a lot of teachers are not, they want that codependence. They want that unhealthy thing. They want that adoration, right? This is why we got to be paying wicked close attention to who we're choosing to give our money to, our time, our energy, our resources, right? But we have to remember, right? First of all, choose your teachers wisely. But what a wicked good internal te what a wicked good external teacher or mentor or coach or whatever is going to do is keep pointing back to the inner teacher. And what I always say to people is, right, don't fall in love with the one who is pointing. Fall in love with what we're pointing to. Don't become enamored with the pointer. Pay wicked close attention to what we're actually pointing to, and we have all these systems that have been set up. And when you think about like, oh, the Pope, what do they say? Like, kiss the ring. You see it in the mafia. What is it? Oh, kiss the ring of the Godfather. In some yoga traditions, it's like bow down and touch the feet of your teacher. There's all these things of like kind of giving over your power. And I just think in this day and age, it's really, really, really important to be on the lookout. Use your discernment, be on the lookout for inconsistencies, incongruencies, when things do not feel aligned, right? That cognitive dissonance when you're like, I don't know, they're saying this, but I just can't feel it. It doesn't seem right. Trust that. Trust that. Trust yourself. Trust and be aware. Trust yourself and be aware. Trust and be aware and notice when you're trying to make other people more special. There's a saying, I hear it a lot sometimes, you'll be watching something, you're at an event or whatever it is, and somebody will just kind of look up like wide-eyed and glossy-eyed and be like, I'm in awe of you, or I'm in awe of them, or I'm in awe of that, And I'm always like, can we just like pump the brakes? Can we pump the brakes on that a little bit? I think it's one thing, in A Course in Miracles, if you guys don't know what A Course in Miracles is, of course, this is a book, A Course in Miracles. I've been a student of A Course in Miracles for a wicked long time. And in A Course in Miracles, there's this section that I love. And it talks about how I always paraphrase it to say, like, okay, and we're back. Hopefully, I'm not going to choke on this friggin' cough drop. Okay. But my throat was getting really irritated. So I got to wrap this up in a minute. But there's this piece that I kind of interpret as and paraphrase it as like, observe, reserve your awe for God. Like reserve your awe, right? For that thing, whatever you call it, the creator, source, love, the divine universe, whatever. But please forgive my coughing. All right, I'm gonna try to wrap this up with with no more of this. But here's the thing: reserve your awe for the divine, not so much for fellow human beings. And I always say I'm not in awe of people. I don't do that anymore. My days of pedestal, I've seen too much, you guys. I've seen too much over the years. I've seen too much. I've seen too much. To keep building these kind of like fantasy pie in the skies about human beings. It's one thing to be inspired by them. It's one thing to respect things about them. You know, there's also, there's a great, great section again, also in A Course in Miracles, where it says this. I'm going to read this to you because I love it so much. It says, equals, meaning you and I, remember, we're equals. Equals should not be in awe of one another because awe implies inequality. It is therefore an inappropriate reaction. Inappropriate reaction. An elder brother is entitled to respect for his greater experience and his greater wisdom. So I think back to, you know, when I lived in Los Angeles, one of the places that I worked was at a magic dinner theater. Some of the world's top magicians came and played there and performed there. And I dated a magician for a couple of years. And I just remember being so, like, first of all, I love Merlin. I love this concept of magic. I just think it's the coolest. Like, sleight of hand stuff is so fascinating to me. And you can't date a magician or work at a magic dinner theater without starting to kind of see, you know, behind the curtain. You start to see how the illusions have done, how the sleight of hands is done. And even though you start, for me, I can't speak for other people, but even though you start to see how the things are done, for me, they never lost their magic. Because what I found so fascinating and incredible and powerful is how many times these humans had to practice those skills. How many times they had to practice those skills to make it still feel and look like magic. So I would be, you know, I'm like, I always say, don't be in awe of them as people. But if you want to be inspired by their work ethic, if you want to be, if you want to have some like reverence for their commitment to saving the animals or, you know, whatever it is, I think that's really fantastic. Like, if you want to say, oh, this is a person that I really admire and respect for their values and how they show up in the world and how they help animals or they're kind to this, you know, and stuff like that. I think a lot of times the things that we quote unquote idolize are kind of bizarre and kind of ridiculous. And here's the reality, guys. If we keep putting, as a society, people up on these wicked high pedestals, if we try to hold them to these impossible standards, if they're that high, there's only one place to go, and that is down. And as human beings, our job should be to praise each other, to love one another, to build each other up, right? That's how, you know, there's all those different sayings. And I say, but there's one, right? We rise by lifting others. I have no problem with this concept of helping each other, supporting each other, lifting each other up. But there's a totally different thing by putting somebody up on a pedestal and just throwing your common sense out the friggin' window. Like, that to me is just like, wait, what? And then getting disappointed because you find out, oh yeah, they're human. Because somehow we forgot. What? Because you have $1 billion? Like, somehow that makes you special? No, you know what that makes you? Good at business or good at making money or good at stealing money. Right? You're over here and it's like, oh, da da da. There's certain things. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, oh my God, do you know how many balls he had to throw or how many times? Like, you think about the greats, you think about like athletes like Michael Jordan, except Tom Brady, et cetera, right? And you think, oh my God, the amount of dedication, the amount of determination, the amount of discipline and devotion, right? When I talk about like doing anything like a daily spiritual practice, you know, I call it the 5 D's of DSP, daily dedication, determination, discipline, and devotion. You can have those kind, those 5 D's, you know, you can have those things in other areas as well. And there's nothing wrong with having respect, again, for somebody's greater experience, for their greater wisdom, for their, you know, for being an elder, for like whatever. But even with that, don't give all your power away. Don't lose your common sense, your discernment, right? Your ability to say, ooh, something feels out of alignment here. Something smells fishy. Something is off here. This doesn't feel right. Right? Don't abandon your inner knowing. And if you catch yourself making somebody extra special, be wary of that. Be suspicious of what your ego, you know, is up to. Be suspicious of what your ego is up to. And if you find yourself just praising up to eventually pull down, knock it off. Catch yourself. That's where self-awareness is wicked important. When you notice yourself starting to fangirl, you know, because somebody can write good songs or they make a lot of money, it's like, yeah, but are they a good human being? Like, do they treat animals nice? Are they kind to other people, right? You know what I mean? So know who you are, know what your values are, use your discernment, and don't delight in other people's, in this cancel culture, right? Like, don't delight in other people's fall. We're not here. I'm not here to do public shaming or to celebrate people, you know, their traumas, their dramas being played out on the public stage. I just don't think it's, very nice, right? I don't think it's very kind. Oh, not nice. Let's say it's not kind. It's not kind. And, you know, a lot of times, like I said, there are exemptions to everything. There are not exemptions. What's the word I'm looking for? That E word. Exceptions. There are exceptions to every rule. And there are people with certain, like I said, certain responsibilities, certain positions of power where you're like, you don't expect, like, yeah, there's a certain standard, right? But a lot of times, these are just people hawking their wares and getting rich and getting famous. And then everybody likes to act like, oh, when we find out, right, that, oh, they're human and they've been screwing around over here or doing this or stealing that or whatever, you know? And it's like, yeah, yeah, okay, they're human, right? Yeah. Not super surprised. Not super surprised. And just remember what I said. People love to put them. People love to put themselves sometimes even, but we love to put other people up on pedestals and then we move them right over to the cross. We go from praise to crucifixion, and we got to be a little more aware of our tendencies to do that or to delight in it or whatever, because that's not really who we want to be as people. It's not who we are. You know, we shouldn't delight when other people, you know, what is it? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, couldn't be put back together again. We shouldn't delight in those kinds of instances. You know what I mean? So I hope this was helpful in some way. You know, it's always about giving us an opportunity to self-reflect. It's really easy to look out there and be like, oh, that person. Like, really what it's about is looking in the mirror and say, okay, where in my own life am I doing this? Where am I building pedestals? Where am I trying to crucify people? Where am I delighting in the drama of this whole social media fucking, you know, all of it. It's just a racket. Such a racket. And within that racket, we have a lot of people who are being built up to be something that they're not. So remember, keep returning to yourself, keep going in, keep remembering who you truly are, to who you truly belong. You know, don't give away your power. And don't delight in pleasure when other people fall down. It's inevitably going to happen for probably all of us, right? In some, sometimes more minor or small ways, and sometimes in very public ways. Because it's important, you know, it's important that we are representing who we really are, which is love. Okay. I hope this was helpful in some way. And please, please cross your fingers for me that this hacking cough is going to go away so I can stop doing, like, this episode. I had to pause it like so many times. So if it seems a little weird, I apologize if it's like pausing or if it feels a little like blippy, because I had to keep slamming on the pause button so I wasn't hacking in your face. So thank you so much for listening to the show or watching the show. It means so much to me. I appreciate you so much. And wherever you go, may you leave the people, the place, yourself, the animals, the environment, the planet better than how you found it. Wherever you go, may you and your presence and your love be a blessing. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show. I really love spending some time together. Now, if you dig the show or know someone that could benefit from this episode, please share it with them and help me to spread the good word and the love. And if you want to be in the know about all of my upcoming shenanigans, head on over to KarenKenny.com/signup and join my list. It'll be wicked fun to stay in touch. Bye!